Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining. Does everybody hear me? Yes? No? Some thumbs up? Okay, thanks. I appreciate the thumbs up. Okay, so this is part two in our series about what the Gemara calls nitkal posheya, which is essentially whether one should be held liable for stumbling. So we're going to do a brief recap. I'm going to try to actually move a bit quickly today, because there's a lot to cover. But to briefly review what we saw last week. So last week discussed the question, essentially, of a case of porters who are transporting cargo, and they stumble and fall and break the cargo. What should the law be based on the letter of the law, right? Not the spirit of the law. So what we saw was there are various opinions as to how we view someone who stumbles. There are essentially three categories. One option is that someone who stumbles is considered negligent and careless, and therefore they should be, based on the letter of the law, held liable, if not for a potential concern that if we hold porters liable for carrying cargo, then no one will ever volunteer to do so, and therefore the Chachamim come in and say we absolve them from guilt anyway, so that people continue to volunteer to carry things for their friends. But one option is that nikkal is considered poshea, it's negligence and careless. The opposite option is that nikkal is not only is it not careless, it's not your fault. Stumbling is something that you can't really control. It just happens. Therefore, we shouldn't hold anyone liable for stumbling and dropping and breaking cargo. And the middle option is that it's not quite, you're not completely blameless, but you're also not negligent or careless. You're somewhere in the middle, what we call in halacha ke'en geneva va'aveda. It's akin to someone who's watching an object and has that object get stolen from them. And therefore, the letter of the law should be a shomer chinam. Someone who is doing this for free is exempt, while someone who is doing this for pay, a paid porter, should be liable. What we saw last time is that in terms of the actual practical halacha, what we seem to say is that we say that someone who stumbles isn't considered negligent. It sounds like we say that someone who stumbles is the middle category. We do think that, however, a paid porter who stumbles and drops an object has the option of swearing that they weren't negligent in doing so, and therefore thereby absolving themselves from payment because of this takana derabanan, this institution that we want people to volunteer to carry things for their friends, and if we held them liable every time they stumbled, they wouldn't do so. But what I want to focus on now for this year, which is going to be our main topic today, is the tour. So if you look at your source sheet, give me one second. If you look at your source sheet, what you should see in source number 1 and 2 are two rulings of the tour. So in source number 1, the tour says as follows. Hamaver chavis mi makom le makom v'nikka b'derech yishara v'nishbar achavis havi pshia v'chayiv. So someone who is transporting a barrel from one place to another and stumbles, and they're walking on a straight path, and the barrel breaks, that is considered negligence, and they are liable. Meaning that Tor here distinguishes between someone who is a porter walking on a straight path and someone who is walking on a path which is a slope, down a hill or up a hill or something like that. And the Tor says, if you trip while walking on a straight path, that is considered negligence, and then you are held liable. However, if you trip on a sloped path, you are not held liable. That is what the Torah says in the context of porters, who are employees and carrying something for their employer. However, in many other contexts, the Torah does not distinguish between a straight path and a sloped path. So, for instance, in source number 2, the first case is someone who is carrying their own cargo and slips and breaks it, or rather, someone who is walking in the public domain and they slip over someone else's object and break it. And so the Torah says, "Amaniel tesakab reshut harabim," someone who slips on a jug in the public domain, uva'acher v'niskalbo. Someone who places a jug in the public domain and someone else comes and slips on that object, vishavro, and breaks it, patur. They are exempt for slipping on that object. It is not normal for a person to contemplate the path ahead of them. And if they get damaged by walking over this object, the person who owns the object, is chayav. But there's no distinction, right? The Torah is simply saying it's not your fault that you stumbled, because people don't look at the road ahead of them, and therefore you're not liable for breaking someone else's object. Similarly, in the second line, someone who is carrying an object, their own object, and slips, and that object breaks and damages others while they are falling, they are exempt because nitkala posheya, someone who stumbles, isn't considered negligent. Again, the Torah is seemingly going with this logic. We don't expect people to survey the road in front of them. People sort of just walk assuming that the road in front of them is clear. Therefore, by slipping, you have not been careless and you're not liable for the damage that happens as a result of your slipping. What's conspicuously absent from source number two is any reference to a difference between a slope path and a straight path. And the question is, why is it that in the context of porters, the Torah does not distinguishes between a straight path, where he says if it's a straight path, you're chayav, and in the context of someone who damages another, either through slipping, either damages their property, or damages by dropping their own property while slipping, there's no distinction between a straight path and a narrow path. So what I suggested at the end of Shir last week was that we can distinguish between essentially the laws of damages and employment law. Meaning, whereas in employment law, there is a specific expectation to pay attention to your job. Your job is to transport an object from point A to point B. It's therefore reasonable to expect you, at least, to look at the terrain in front of you. And therefore, you will be held liable if the terrain isn't, in and of itself, a place where we would expect you to potentially slip. Whereas, if you're simply carrying your own cargo or walking on your own, you're not an employee, then the duty of care is less, and therefore, we don't have that same expectation of you, and if you slip, we don't hold you liable. So simply, what I'm saying is, put in other terms, we have one sugya above a comma and one sugya above metzia. Bava Metzia, which is our study this year, primarily deals with employment law. Laws of Poalim, and workers, and Shomrim, guardians. Whereas Bava Kama deals with laws of damages. What I'm suggesting is, in this particular circumstance, we can distinguish between the laws of damages and employment law, and in this regard, that employment law will be more severe and more strict. Right? That's where we sort of ended off last week. And in that vein, if you look at source number two and then source number three, the Ramban himself makes a similar distinction. The Ramban here is explaining the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and he says as follows: V'asr Rav Yehuda lemeimar shomer chinam yishava nosei sachar yishalem high kedine v'high kedine. Rav Yehuda says a shomer chinam takes a shvua. Someone and a nosei sachar shomer sachar pays if they stumble. V'lo tiknu glob kum. The din ha-nikgal k'din g'neva va'aveda ve'eno doma lo la'ones lo l'pshia. Someone who stumbles, according to Rav Yehuda, is not negligent. However, it's also, they're not completely blameless. V'shomer sachar kozman shlo nenas chayiv v'shomer chinon kozman shlo pasha patar. Umihu gal ben yizakin. However, regarding damages, patar Rav Yehuda. Then Rav Yehuda exempts the someone who slips. To onus mikre legabi nizakin. Even though, in regard to the employee, stumbling is considered not pshia or ones, it's geneva vaveda, in regard to nizakin, damages, it is actually onus. It is not your fault. Lo mi bayala achron nefilo, says the Ramban. Not only is this true regarding the status of the object you drop after it's already on the floor, the habile bor v'atora miata b'shiraso, because when you drop an object on the floor, the way to hold you liable is through the idea of bor, through the notion that if you dig a hole, you are liable for the damage that your digging of the hole causes. V'atora miata b'shiraso. The Torah reduces how much you need to watch a bor. So the standards are very low, and therefore you're liable. All you have to do is watch it in a minimal way, like a non-paid watchman. However, even before the object hits the ground while it's a projectile, the Havilei Eish, right, where the reason you'd be chayev is for the mazik of Eish, where you're chayev for the projectiles that you launch, Pater, Dhanami Miyata Torah Bishiraso, because the Torah also reduces the how much you have to watch Eish. V'lo be'ino benizak and shmir me'ula kol kach kishmir ha-shomer sachar elachamichi nadr k'danadr inshi pater benizakin. So the Ramban is essentially saying we're distinguishing between damages, which has a lower standard for how careful you have to be, specifically here, Eish and Bor, those mazikim, and an employer, a shomer, or an employee, in this case a shomer, where there is a higher level of liability, because that is your job. Okay, so that's where we've sort of left off last time. I just want to make sure, is that clear? Understood? With me, not with me? I'm going to say shtika koda here, sorry, yes.
Is shomer the same as an employee? I get shomer sutra, but the rest of them?
That's a good question. It's actually, we kind of discussed that in the previous year when we talked about when a shomer becomes liable, or that it can be chozer. But in this case, I'll say it specifically, in this case, the shomer is an employee, right? You're paid to transport an object from point A to point B. So in this case, certainly the shomer sachar is an employee. It doesn't always have to be an employee, although you could say that essentially a shomer is a type of employee. It might be a sort of pro bono employee. Okay, clear? So what I'm going to do now is challenge everything I just said. The question is twofold, okay? The question is, number one, is there any reason to distinguish between damages, the laws of Mazikin generally, and employment law in these circumstances? Or are they the same? And I think, to provide an example, it seems to me, and the lawyers can correct me if I'm wrong, that generally, in terms of secular law, there isn't really the biggest distinction. It's just a question of, did you have a duty of care, and were you negligent in that duty of care? Whether you are an employee or just a person, in order to hold you liable, you need to have been negligent, and if you were negligent, you'll be liable. So the one question is there any distinction to be made? Question two is, if there is a distinction, does it go the other way? It's very possible that maybe someone who damages is more liable than a shomer or an employee, assuming that they're categorized as adam hamazik, someone who damages, okay? So that's the question I fundamentally want to ask is, should we really distinguish between bava kama and bava mitzia? Should we distinguish between the employees in bava mitzia and the non-employees in bava kama? And if so, how? So in order to begin that discussion, we move on to source number four. So source number four sort of suggests that we should distinguish, but in the exact opposite way that I suggested. This is the Mishnah in Bava Kama Chav Vav Mad Aleph, and the Mishnah says as follows. Adam Mu'ad Le'olam. A person, and now I'm going to translate the word Mu'ad as is warned. A person is always warned, meaning you always have to be careful of any damage that you might cause. Bein shogeg, that is true in terms of accidental damage, bein mazid, purposeful damage, bein ar, whether it's damage while you are awake, bein yashin, or damage that occurs while you are sleeping. You are liable for damage that occurs while you are sleeping, even though you are not conscious of conscious of your actions at that point. So, whether you blind your friend, you damage a person on their body, or you break vessels, you pay full damages. And now the Gemara asks, Gemara, minahani mili. How do we know this is true? Amar chizkia v'chein tana devei chizkia. Amar kra, the Torah says, petza tachas patza, a wound in exchange for a wound. L'chaivo ala shogei kemezid. This obligates someone for accidental damage the same way as they are liable for purposeful damage. V'ala ones, and for damage they're compelled to commit. Kiratzon, to willing damage. And just to note, I didn't bring it here, but Tosfos actually says, when it says onus here, it means someone compelled you to damage the other party, which might, on a simple level, mean someone threatened you and said, if you don't damage so-and-so, I'm going to hurt you. You are still liable for such damage. So it would seem from this Gemara that we should distinguish, potentially at least, between damages and employment law. Because someone who damages is always liable. It doesn't matter if it was by accident, if it was compelled, if they were awake, they were not awake, you're always liable for damages. That is one source. However, as we saw last time, there's another source, and that is the source in Bava Kama Chav Chesem Avi. So I'm just going to jump to the bold. The case that you can look on in the source we did last time is someone has a barrel, they drop the barrel, it breaks in the public domain, and someone gets damaged as a result of their having dropped the barrel. So the Gemara suggests that, what do we mean? What is the case here? When Rabbi Huda says you're only liable when you are... jump to the bottom here. I don't want to make it confusing. The Gemara suggests that, according to Rav Meir, the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, even if you are at no fault whatsoever for dropping this barrel, literally you were holding the box and a freak accident happened, the box broke on its own, you had the handle in your hand, and the bottom of the box smashed on the ground and hurt someone, the Gemara at one point suggests, according to Rav Meir, you should be chayav, that you're still liable. And to that, the Gemara asks, amai, onushu, why are you liable? That is onus. That was out of your control. The ones rachmana patre. The Torah exempts someone who was compelled, who had no control of the wrong that they did. Diktiv ilanara lota sedavar. It says you shall not do anything to this woman who was violated against her will. So here, and this sounds like, at a simple glance, it's a direct contradiction to source 4, is saying that there is a petor ones for mazikin. That even for someone who damages, an adam hamazik is exempt from damage which is out of their control. So we have four sources that sort of contradict each other. So how do we deal with this contradiction? So I'm going to present three approaches, and then I'd like to try to understand the approaches in terms of how they understand Adam Hamazik. I'm going to try to move a bit quicker now. It's a huge topic, and we're not going to spend that much time, but I'll at least try to hit the high points here. So Tosfos in source number 6 is very bothered by this, and bothered by the notion that, number one, we had this idea that Adam was la'olam. Number two, we have many examples in the Gemara where we seem to exempt someone who damages from paying if it was not their fault. Including our Gemara. We exempt the workers from dropping the barrels in certain circumstances, even though, because it was not their fault. And the question is, why? And what Tosfos does, it says, when we say Adam Muad La'olam, a person is always liable, it doesn't really mean always liable. La'olam here doesn't really mean always, it means sometimes. Or more often than you would have expected. But if you look in the bold, says Tosfos, second line in source number 6, Ava ba'ones gamor pater Adam Amazik. When a Adam Amazik is exempt from a complete onus, something totally out of their control. And he brings a proof here. Kidemash mebi Yerushalmi, demaya yashin, vachaver, vyashin, etzlo, viziku, zeh, harishon, pator. as Yerushalmi says, that if someone was sleeping and their friend comes and sleeps next to them, and then person A went to sleep totally innocently, no one was lying next to them, person B comes and lies next to them in the bed, they roll over, they damage person B, patur, vasheni chayav. The first one is patur. Well, why are they patur? Says Tosfos, because that was totally out of your control. You go to sleep innocently, you can't expect a second person to just go into your bed, and that you should be held liable for the damage that you do while you're not even conscious. So that's not your fault. Ones gamor is patur. And he continues, I took a big Tosfos here and I cut out a lot of it, which we'll go through outside for a time, for brevity. Now Tosfos asks, in our sugya on Pei Beis Amud Beis, Rav Yehuda says that nitkal is lavanus, that someone who stumbles is not blameless, and he's machayev shomer sachar. So why is anyone pator? If we're saying that adma mazik is always chayev unless it's an ones gamor, then this is not an ones gamor. Why should someone who stumbles be held be exempt? And then Tosos adjusts his view even more and says it's not only ones gamor that an adam hamazik will be pater for, even a situation which, although it wasn't completely out of their control, it was mostly not their fault. That's how I like to, it was karov leones. It was so, it's like someone getting stolen. Says Tosfos, say shlomar de nikol haver of Yehuda k'in geneva. Someone who stumbles, according to Rav Yehuda, is like someone who is robbed. Tavi karov onis, right? A shomer sachar is held liable when a robber steals the object they're watching. It's not completely out of their control. Maybe they could have fought back. They could have safeguarded the object better. But no one asked the robber to steal from them. That's hard to guard from. So for a level B onus, something that's not totally out of your control, but is also, you're not completely blameless, then you're also potter. L'kach potter adam amazik, l'machayev adam amazik, al-badavar shuk'in avedav havikarov lipshia. A mazik is only chaya for an ones, which is like a lost object, which is almost negligence. Okay, so to sort of summarize, Tosfos in source 6 says, Adamu la'olam is sort of a misnomer. You'll only be held liable when it is mostly your fault. When the thing that happened, although you didn't mean to do it, was something that you should have prevented, is almost like negligence. That is that's the approach of Tosfos, okay? Nemuka Yosef also is bothered by this contradiction between the two Gemaras in Bava Kamma. The Nemuka Yosef says as follows. So the Gemara says, Beruah she'ina mitzuya, that a person is, that in our Gemara, if you take objects, put them on the roof, and the wind blows, and the objects collide with someone, you are exempt. The onus who? The onus rachman apatre. The Torah exempts someone from onus. As we learn from Ulanara lo tasedavar. Vidaka ba'ones gamor. De lo matzi li yune de lo litre hayezeka. Specifically when it's a complete ones. Avalhecha da havi matzi li yune chayev de chegare vadi rabbi rachmana ones karatz li chiyuve. If it was not a complete ones, if it was something that you could have investigated and avoided, then you are chayev. So, whereas for Tosfos, it's much more, it's a pretty inclusive leniency here, that Adam Amazik will be patur even in non-Ones Gamor, Nimuka Yosef limits it at least to Ones Gamor, something completely out of your control. That's the Nimuka Yosef. And then we get to the Ramban, where the Ramban says, you are always Chayav. If you are actually an Adam Amazik, Adam Amazik is always liable for all types of damages, even for ones gamor. Just to look at source number 8 for a minute, he quotes Tosfos, and he says as follows. Toso says our sugya of the porter carrying the barrel is an adam hamazik, a person who is damaging. In kein lama patshu dav divrei omer onasu, valo adam muad la'olam, bein be'ones bein beratzon. So Toso say that an adam hamazik is potter from ones gamor for a complete accident out of their control, and they bring a proof from the case of the Yerushalmi of someone who sleeps. Let me slow down for a second. The Yerushalmi says, if even though you are generally we'll get to this in a second. Even though you are generally liable for damage that you cause while sleeping, but if it was totally not your fault, if you were sleeping already and then your friend comes, then you are actually exempt. You're only going to be liable if you were both sleeping, went to sleep in the bed at the same time. And the proof is, so Toso says, why? Because in that case, it's totally not your fault. Says the Rabban, it's not a good proof. Says the Rabban, no, that's not because it's an ones gamor. We'll get to this in just a few minutes. That's because the second person themselves were negligent in going into the bed. Once the rabbis say that you're chayev, even if you're blown off the roof by a hurricane, they mention the worst possible circumstance out of your control. It doesn't get more out of your control than a hurricane. And yet, you're still chayav. Derush in a mitzuya filu ka'osa shel Yahu. We're talking about a tempest, akin to that of the one that blew Eliyahu into the heavens. And yet, you're still liable. Deruah mitzuya skirli in shomer chin al varush in a mitzuya lo skir batamba eli in an ones. To have min a own tingidolon shiva olam. Rush in a mitzuya is the greatest ones. The inka makam laharep is a yotr midai. Unfortunately, the Ramban here says, I can't go into depth or detail here. He doesn't really go into detail anywhere. That's the problem. He doesn't totally explicate his position. But the point is, Rabban Shita is Adam, damages you are always liable for. If you cause damages with your body, you are liable no matter what, if you are categorized as Adam Hamazik. Okay, so three Shita so far. And I'd like to analyze for a second. We had one shita is that sort of generally you are exempt unless you are at least at fault to some degree. You're only going to be chayav for ones ke'en aveda, says Tosfos. So, an ones that was more like pshia. It's close to negligence or carelessness. Whereas, that's one shita. The other extreme is the Ramban, who says you're always chayav for damages. The middle, you have the Nemuka Yosef, who says that that you're chayav for everything except complete ones. So what are they arguing about? That's the question here. What's the nakuda of the machlokas? So what I like to suggest, and many acharim say this, we'll read in the Rav inside for a second, is they're arguing about essentially the basis for liability for adam hamazik, for damages. That is the crux of their argument. And I think you can relate it to our original question. Is the basis for damages negligence? And that's essentially what we're saying, that Adam Hamazik is just like a shomer. A shomer watches their object. A person has to watch their body. They are obligated to prevent themselves from damaging others. But it's the same category. Ultimately, you could be negligent in watching an object. You could be negligent in watching yourself. And it's essentially the same thing. Whereas, the other perspective is it's not negligence. The basis for Adam HaMazik is the act of damaging itself. To put it in another way, I think you could suggest as follows, okay? Generally, in halacha, in order to be mechayev someone, in order to hold someone liable and punish them for a sin, a maisa avera, we require two things. Generally, we require an action that they did the avera. We also require kavana, right? We require that they intended to do that illegal action. That's what we generally require, right? And that's why there's difference in Shabbos between Shogeg and Mezid. That's why there's difference in other Averos between Shogeg and Mezid. That's generally what we require. It's from the limud of petzatachas patza, and from this idea of adam mor le'olam, it sounds like that adam hamazik is different. That while we generally require kavana, we don't for damages. And that much is clear. We don't require you to purposefully damage the other party in order to be liable. You're liable even if you did it by accident. The question is, why? Tosfos takes this limud of adam mor le'olam and says, the idea is that it's not that you're really liable for any action. It's not like a maisa avera. You're liable for negligence in preventing yourself from damaging. You're liable because you should have been more careful to avoid the circumstance entirely. To give an example of this, one of the difficulties of Tosos is that the Gemara says pretty explicitly that you are liable if you go onto a roof and get blown by a hurricane. Right? Now, Tosos is very hard for Tosos, because Tosos has to stretch in all sorts of weird things and say things like, well, to stumble and drop an object, that is ones gamor. That is something you couldn't have controlled. Stumbling just happens. That you're putter for. But when you get blown off of the roof by a hurricane, that's your fault, right? That you could have controlled, that you're chaya for. Now, that seems to me very confusing. Like, I would think the opposite. But what Tosos says in one place is, you should have been more careful and not gotten up there in the first place. You should have known that going on a roof leaves you susceptible to certain scenarios where you could cause damage. The point is, it's not ultimately about the thing that caused the damage. It's about your general negligence in not being careful enough. It's about not exercising duty of care. That's what adam mor le'olam means. The focus isn't on the maisa, on the action. It's on you and your negligence. And that's Tosfos' approach. The Ramban, I'd like to argue, saying otherwise. The Ramban, I think you can explain it as follows, is saying that since the Torah requires such a high duty of care for adam hamazik, and we have to be careful not to damage others, the Torah is mechayev you for a maisa that is mazik, despite the fact that you had no kavana. That adam hamazik is chayev for the maisa, even without kavana. That's the point. The act itself of damaging is mechayev you. The Torah got rid of the general requirement of having kavana. And so it's a totally different category than negligence. It's just its own thing. For the Ramban, it's a formal legal category of adam hamazik. And as we're going to see, it will only apply in circumstances where we can define you as adam hamazik. It's much more based on context. Whereas for Tosfos, it's a simple question of, should you have been more careful or shouldn't have you? And then in the middle, you have the Nemuka Yosef, who I think you could argue could go either way. You could say, on the one hand, the Nemuka Yosef agrees with the Ramban that you're liable for the act itself, you don't require kavana, and simply the Torah has an exemption for ones gamor. Just always, we always exempt ones gamor. That's a gzeiras hakaso. We never hold someone liable for something totally out of their control. That's one explanation. Alternatively, you could say that the Nemuka Yosef agrees with Tosfos that the basis for holding you liable is your negligence. However, it's not just negligence. For adam hamazik, the standard is very low. You have to really do a great job watching yourself, preventing yourself from damaging. The only case you'll be exempt from is ones gamor. The truth is, if you look in Nemuka Yosef's Lashon, it does sort of sound like that. What Nemuka Yosef says is, only for a complete accident which you couldn't have prevented. It sounds like we require you to prevent all damages that might have happened, and anything you couldn't have possibly prevented is what you're liable for. So if you look at source number 9, the Rishimush, the Rav here in Bava Kama essentially sums this up. He says, the shame bira machlokas alinu lakor ima machayev shel adam hamazik hu bitul chovas hashmira hamutelas alav k'in chovas hashmira mutelas abaleihem shel mamon hamazik, is the basis for holding a damager liable that they didn't fulfill their obligation to watch themselves, which is similar to the obligation of an owner to watch their possessions and prevent them from damaging. Or is the machayev, is the reason that they're liable, the very act that they did? According to Tosos, the machayev is the negligence or the that they weren't careful in watching the animal appropriately, and therefore they're exempt from a case of onetz keingeneva because we can't. It's not their fault. We can't make them guilty for nullifying that obligation. Or is the basis the very action which caused damage itself? And therefore, even if it's completely out of your control, the very fact that you did an action which caused damage makes you liable. So that is the basis of this machlokas. So what I want to do now, and we're going to move a bit, is to go through all the proofs that Tosfos marshals to prove that there are exceptions to Adam Mamazik and show how the Ramban might respond to those, and in doing so define the term Adam Mamazik. Because again, what we'll see is, since according to the Ramban, Adam Mamazik is a formal legal category, it's a specific maaseh that you need to do, which is mechayev you in all circumstances. It really will depend more on the nature of what you are doing. Okay, so let's go through some of the proofs quickly. We're going to go through them outside. Source number 10 discusses, as Tosos quoted. Actually, before I get to source number 10, just to note on record, the first two proofs we have are our Gemara, Nikgal Poshea. So number one, we hold somewhat, we say that a porter who is carrying a barrel is exempt in certain circumstances, even though Adamud L'Olam. We say that someone who drops a barrel or an object and damages someone in the process is exempt if they stumbled, because Nikgal is not Poshea, even though Adamu La'olam. So those are two examples where this seems to be an exception. If you look in source number 10, this is a source of the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that if you are already in bed and someone gets into bed next to you and you damage them while sleeping, you are putter. The language is important here because it's their fault. But Tosos asks, if a person is always liable for damage, why does it matter? Rather, it must be that you're not liable in cases where it's out of your control. If you look at source number 11, source number 11 talks about a case where inheritors inherit a cow from their father. They think it's their father's cow, but in reality, their father had borrowed that cow. And they accidentally slaughter that cow thinking it's their father's. The Gemara says in such a case, they don't pay for full damages. They pay mishamen demei basar bazol. They pay the value of cheap meat. They pay the value of how they benefited from the cow. They don't pay for the full value of the cow. Says Tosfos, if that's so, why is that? Why don't we say adamu l'olam? Even though it's not their fault, they should be liable anyway and pay the full value of the cow. Source number 12. A similar case, again, this sort of we went over, we say that if someone leaves an object in on the road and you stumble and break that object, you're not liable to pay for that object because ein dargan shevnei adam miponei bedrachim. We don't expect people to investigate the road ahead of them. It's not your fault that you didn't look and see that there was an object in your path. And again, Tosfos says, why does it matter that it's not your fault that you didn't look at the object ahead of you? Adam muad l'olam. Source number 13. This is a Mishnah Bava Kama. This is a case where you have two people. One is carrying a barrel. One is carrying a beam. We say that if the person carrying the beam was there after the person carrying the barrel and the beam breaks the barrel, then they are liable. Vim amad balabayis pater. However, if someone was holding a beam, walking behind someone holding a barrel, and suddenly the person holding the barrel stops, then the halacha is that you are putter because they suddenly stopped in front of you. It's not your fault. They shouldn't have done that. And the question again is, who cares if it's not your fault? Adam Muad La'olam. And finally, in source 14, we have the case of, and maybe Jeff remembers this from the Zeifman Shir, the case of a shochet. If you have an expert shochet that accidentally invalidates his shechita, and they slaughter the animal inappropriately, and the animal is now in a vela. The Gemara says that if, according to some opinions, at least according to Rav Yochanan, if they were not paid for their service, they're exempt, even though they invalidated the animal. And again, the question is, if certainly, ultimately, by slaughtering the animal and making it not kosher, that is damaging that animal. If so, why are you exempt? Okay, so that's a number of different examples, Tosfos brings, where you are exempt, even though it sounds like you should be held liable because Adam Muad La'olam. Now, for Tosfos will just say in all these cases, you weren't negligent in your responsibility in any of these cases. It wasn't your fault, and that's why you're exempt. But for the Ramban, and even for the Nemuka Yosef, this is more difficult. Why is it then that you are exempt if Adam Muad La'olam? They're not all Ones Gomor. Doesn't sound like it. So how would the Ramban answer these cases? So what I'm going to suggest is two basic general ideas for how the Ramban can answer these questions. Two general ideas, then one more specific one, and then we'll go through all the examples. So answer one is there's something called Nizak Poshea Ba'atma, which means that even though Adam Muad La'olam, in a case in which the damaged party themselves were negligent and participated in the damage caused to them, Adam Hamazik is going to be putter. So the best example of this is obviously the case of someone who gets into bed with someone already sleeping. Certainly, they were negligent. If you see someone sleeping in a bed and you nevertheless negligently get into that bed next to them, you have to know that something might happen because the other person is sleeping. And that's your fault. It's not only the Mazik's fault. Why should this be an exemption? So I think there's two ways to sort of explain this. One is that in order to apply Adam HaMazik, there need to be two parties. There's the party of the damager and the party of the damagee. I think that's the term, right? Damagee? Is that a correct term? I'm going to go with it until someone corrects me. So you have two distinct parties. What'd you say?
Victim.
Damager and victim. Thanks, Jeffrey. Thank you, Artarchina. Damager and victim. So that Adam HaMazik means you have those two parties. That's when we apply Petzatachas Patzah. In the event that that blind is blurred, that the victim is also participating in their own damage, they are no longer just a victim, then they are also a Mazik. And therefore, that is not a case of Adam HaMazik. The formal legal category of Adam HaMazik requires these two distinct parties. I think that's one way you can explain this idea of Adam, of Nizik Poshe Ba'atmo. The other one, yeah, someone have a question? The other one is another, similar, as we'll see the Meiri says, is that Nizak Poshe Ba'atmo is the reason that that's exempt from Adam Muad La'olam is because the rule is, in Mazik, if there are two sources of damage, we always hold the primary party responsible. So the point, as I was seeing in the ear, the point is, you're right, I damaged you, but it was really you who was the primary cause of the damage to yourself. And we never hold both of us liable. We assign the blame to the most blameworthy party. I think we'll see that in the Erie. So where do we see this? Again, this is we have a number of different examples about Nizik Poshe Ba'atmo. We start with source number 15. This is Rabbeinu Yehonah's son. And he says as follows. So this is a case where it seems like we really hold the damager liable in most cases.
The distinction that you're making now, is that with respect to liability or with respect to the amount of damages?
Liability.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems like it is sort of an all or nothing proposition sometimes in halacha. There are exceptions to that, but that's where we're going to go with now. That you won't be liable at all in these cases. Good? Okay. So the Rabbeinu Yohanan is talking about is commenting on the case of the Gemara, where really, like, again, you had a stone in your pocket, and you didn't know about it at all. And yet the Gemara says, if you damage because of that stone, you're chayiv. So v'lohikar b'me'olam, k'gon sh'nichol adam achar b'cheiko b'od sh'yashim, that the person, someone put a stone in your pocket while you're sleeping. Ushakam al raglav, when he got up, nafla evim mecheiko, the stone falls out of your pocket, v'shavra et hakelim, and breaks the vessels, osimein chavero, or damages your friend, blinds their eye. L'inyan yizagin chayiv, you're chayiv for mezmazik, t'av ribinon shogei ke'o meziv onis keratzon, because we include, we are hold someone liable whether it's accidental or whether it's by will. Below dami lezeshi yashin lo hayadam sivav va'adam biyashin etzlo v'simi hayashin ayin zesha pator. Right, this is not comparable to the case of someone who's sleeping and there is no one around them, and then another person comes and sleeps on their side. When in such a case, they are exempt. The lo mechayvinon leshi yitain leze hamishane. We don't obligate you to pay this person who was mishane, who deviated from normal behavior. The reason you're exempt is not because you didn't know about it, because the negligent, I'll say in this circumstance, party, was the person who slept next to you. It's their fault, it's not yours. It's not simply because it's not your fault, it's because it's their fault. Similarly, the Meiri, just in brief, points out here in source number 16 that when we say admu olam, it's called shehizig shelo bipshias hamuzak. Yeah, it should say muzak there, not mazik. This means anybody who damages without negligence of the victim or the party that is damaged. But if the party that was damaged is also negligent, then you are chayav, even in a case, a putter, even for Adam Hamazik. So why might this be so? The Meiri said in source number team something interesting. The Meiri here is commenting, and this is something actually Jeffrey emailed me about over last weekend. So we say that Niskal is not Poshea. But the question is, shouldn't that also, how does that only apply to the damager or the victim? Meaning, what about, why don't we say that since it's not, we don't expect someone to look where they're going, and we exempt someone from dropping an object and damaging, well, we should also always exempt someone from stumbling an object and breaking it. So he says as follows. This is actually hilarious. Meiri says, a person is always contemplating mitzat sichlo because of their intellect. We're too busy in our thoughts to think about the road ahead of us. Therefore, when you stumble, you're not negligent, and we exempt the person for stumbling. And we hold the person who put it down liable. And that might be even if, why? Shakolshin is damnu shnei gormin behezik shal kol echad yeshacha mavo l'chayvo. Whenever you have two causes of damage, and for each one there's a reason to hold them liable, anuroin is a ro'e l'chayvo yoter. We see which one is more liable, umechayvin oso, and hold them liable, upotrin es acher, and we exempt the other. Meaning, even though if you're stumbling, maybe, you know, it's not that you're completely blame-free, but the point is, it's more the fault of the person who put the object down there in the first place. So it's more their fault. And the rule is, again, we always hold the primary party responsible. That's what the Meiri says. So that might be, that explains the whole category of these cases where the other party was negligent as well. That's category one. Exception, the second exception is the idea of mit'asek birishus, what the Rishonim call someone who is doing what they're doing with permission. And that permission might be the permission of the victim, the party which gets damaged. It also might be with legal jurisdiction. So I think the source for this is actually from a Gemara Menachas Mevez. which is a very important Gemara, but we're not going to get to do full Truman of it. But the Gemara says as follows: Amarava, nichnas lechatzer balabayis shelo berishus. If someone goes into somebody else's field without permission, v'hizik as balabayis o balabayis huzak bo chayav. The balabayis damages them, or they damage the owner of the field, or they get damaged by tripping over the owner of the field. Chayav. Let me say that one more time. If someone goes into another person's field and they damage the owner, or the owner slips over them and gets damaged, they are liable. Hiziko balhabayis pater. But if someone goes into another person's field and the owner of that field damages the person, the trespasser, the owner of the field is exempt. Because now when does this apply and why is this? So Amra Papa, Lo Amran Ella de Lo Hava Yada Be. We only say this in a case in which the owner of the field wasn't aware of the other party, the person who was trespassing. Avah Hava Yada Be, but if he knew he was there, Hiziko Balabayas Chayev, and the Baal Habayas damages that party, then he is liable. My time, Mishum de Amar Le, Nihi de Islacharishusa La Fuke, La Zuki Lascharishusa. We say, you had the right to kick me out, but you don't have the right to damage me. So the Gemara says here, on a simple level, if the owner of the field knew about the presence of the person who trespassed on the field, the owner is still liable. What does it mean that they knew about the person trespassing? So here we have a machlokas rishonim. If you look at source number 19, Rashi says that it doesn't make a difference whether or not they intended or didn't intend to damage the party. He says, Hizik kari bein mischavein, bein she'ein mischavein, umiyu biyadayim hiziko. Nezik means that you did it actively, whether or not it was intended. According to Rashi, and the Rishonim who agree with Rashi, lo yadabe means even as long that you didn't know about it. But if you knew about the person's presence, even if you damaged them accidentally, then you are liable. On a simple level, the explanation would be that you don't have any reason generally to suspect that someone is in your jurisdiction. However, once you know that they are on your property, you have an obligation to be careful and not damage them. However, the Rambam has a different explanation of this Gemara. Says the Rambam, I have two halachos for you here. This is the Rambam, Perek Vav, Hechos Chov L'Mazik, Halacha Aleph, and then Halacha Gimel. Says the Rambam, Hamazik Mamo Chavero Chai V'Shalim Ezek Shalim. A person who damages their friend's money, possessions, is liable to pay full damages. Bein Shaya Shogig, Bein Shaya Anus. Whether accidental or it was compelled. Harehu Kamezi. And I think that's an important line. It says, if it was purposeful. To me, that sounds like the Ramban, that we don't distinguish and that we say an act of damage is machayev in and of itself, even without kavana. And he gives a bunch of examples for this. Okay. Then the Rambam says in Alach Gimel, look at the third line. Bamed var mamurim birshus hanizak. This is only the true if you are in the victim's property. Aval birshus hamazik eno chayev v'shalim el mhizik bizadon aval bishkaga o ba'ones patur. The Rambam says, if you are on your own property and you damage, you're only chayev if you do it on purpose. According to the Rambam, Yadabe doesn't only mean you didn't know about the person, it means you didn't intend to damage them. That the fact that they're in your rishus means that you are exempt as long as you didn't purposefully damage them. So the Ravid here disagrees with the Rambam on some of the applications here, but it would seem from the Rambam that there is an exemption. Not just because you didn't have to expect the person on your premise, but there's a specific exemption to someone who goes into your rishus. And I think the approach would be when you have legal authority to do a specific action, we can't call you a mazik. Mazik, by definition, means you breach your duty of care. It means you do something that you did not have the right to do. However, if you had the right to do the action, then we can't call you Adam Hamazik. To say it a bit differently, maybe the chiyuv mazik flows from the isor mazik. It's prohibited to damage someone. But if the action you did was permitted by halacha, because it's my property, and I can do generally what I'd like to do on my property, then I can't call you a mazik. That's one approach. We'll see that another approach to rishus in certain circumstances is when someone gives you permission to do something for them, they're sort of assuming, they know that you might make a mistake and damage their property, and therefore they're sort of exempting you from liability, and maybe therefore you're not a mazik. So just to show this in the sources for a second, look at source number 21. Those was Rittier is talking about that the shochet who accidentally invalidates the animal and makes them an avela. And what does he say? Even though we say adamu la'olam, he says the afagav. Look at this, the second last line there. Afagav the ones chayav nizakin hachashani demidaite kiyahiv leila mishchat the liftar. He's giving it to you with the intention, knowing that you're going to shecht it and be exempt. Meaning when you enter into a relationship with an employee, you know that they might accidentally damage the property. They might mess up, and you accept that upon yourself. That's one version of this. If you look in source 22, though, the Shita Megubetzes here quotes two versions of a different idea, from what I understand. The Shita Megubetzes is talking about the case of someone who stumbles, a nitgal. And here's what he says. Riva pirish devarai nitgal dami l'ruah she'ena mitzuya v'adam hamazik chayev b'nitgal l'kach patr shomer chinam t'chevan d'havi shomer chinam lo shaykh bo din adam hamazik sharai olav muta lahas asik b'davar u'lechein lo mechayev rak b'pshia. Even though we say adamu l'olam, in the case of the porter, since he was commissioned to deal with the object he was carrying, you can't call him a mazik. Lo shayech bo din adam hamazik. Adam hamazik means you are doing something without permission. Here, the fact that he was given explicit permission to deal with this object means, he's fulfilling that that commission. So that means, by definition, he's not a mazik. Essentially, going back to our original question, the Shita Mikubetzes, the Riva, is saying here that by definition, an employee is not a mazik. You can't put together employment law and the law of damages because employees are just a different category. Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the way he quotes the Riva, is a bit different. Here he says, "Mishum dechevan dim shemit askin heim the tovat hanizak, lav adam amazikhu." Since he's acting for the benefit of the victim, he can't be a mazik. And to me, this sort of again gets back to this the idea that adam hamazik requires a victim and the party that damages. If you're working for the party that damages, again, you just don't have those two distinct parties, and therefore it's not the formal category of Adam Hamazik. And the Ramban also says in the case of the Tevach, the slaughterer, that Ina Uman Toa B'malach Tomishum Mazik. So we have a number, we're essentially saying within this approach, an employee can't be a Mazik because an employee has permission to do their job, is obligated to deal with the object, and is working for the benefit of the victim. And therefore, we don't apply Adam HaMazik. Now, to explain, to go one step further, the Kilos Yaakov, and I guess with this we'll end and sort of summarize, the Kilos Yaakov suggests that in the case of the children who inherit a cow from their father, since they had the right to assume it was their cow, because we generally say, Chazaka kol shetacha yad adamu shalo, we generally say something's in your possession, we can assume it's yours. They had the right to assume the cow was their father's. They had the right to shecht it, and therefore they can't be a mazik. He says, Nira d'hacha shayni d'chol ones hari maisei ahezik asr lo lasoto varak shenenas b'siyazo. Ones means the action itself was prohibited, and it just happens to be you were compelled to do a prohibited action. They had the right to slaughter it. They did it with the Torah's permission. Okay, so to sort of summarize, because I guess we're out of time, and maybe at the beginning of the year next week we'll finish up quickly. We have two general perspectives on Adam HaMazik. The perspective of Tosfos is Adam HaMazik is essentially a shomer on himself. The basis for liability is negligence, that you were negligent in your watching the object, and therefore you'll only be liable when we can say you didn't fulfill your obligation to watch yourself from damaging. The second approach is that of the Ramban, that it's a formal legal category where we say a person is chayev for an act that causes damage regardless of whether or not it was purposeful. And what we saw is that because it's a formal legal category, it's relevant to only certain contexts, not in the case of an employee, when it's misasik berishos, and also not when the nizak himself was negligent in participating in the damage. So we'll stop here for now. I guess next time we'll take a brief few minutes to finish up. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.